Good morning, Grizzlies fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman with another special Saturday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Wherever you are listening, hopefully you are warm and comfortable. As you know, for many of the folks who are listening here in Memphis, for those who may not be in the Memphis area, we are bracing for some pretty significant winter weather events. You know, it's already freezing here from a bit of the ice storm that we had to end last week. Looks like we're going to have a bit of a Snowmageddon event coming up this week. So just kind of battening down the hatchet here and hoping for the best. But wherever you are, hope you're warm, safe, and certainly enjoying the start to your weekend. For many of you, especially here in Memphis, y'all may still be asleep at the time that we're recording this podcast as the Grizzlies are starting, you know, one of their West Coast road swings. For me, you know, it's always fun, you know, as Drew Hill of the Daily Memphian, you know, referred to it as the Grizzlies after dark. I always find it fun because not only do the Grizzlies, you know, have the ability when they go on the West Coast, a lot of time are they facing the Lakers and the, you know, Clippers, and you get to see players live that you don't usually get to see. You know, it's also, they've had some recent success in LA, so it's usually a lot of fun to watch them play. Well, I can tell you this, at least for the first 6 minutes of last night's game, it was a hell of a lot of fun to watch the Grizzlies play. But unfortunately, after that, you know, the Lakers showed why they are the reigning champions and are, you know, obviously probably currently the best team in the league as they pulled out a 105-115 victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll discuss that in the first segment. We'll also discuss, despite the loss last night, how there's one encouraging trend of many that from last night, but one encouraging trend for this Memphis Grizzlies team that hopefully will continue, especially as they start to get some of their better talents back. And in the third segment, I'll dive deep into the Grizzlies matchup against the Sacramento Kings tomorrow night. A big game for the Grizzlies, though it's early in the season. One of the big games that the Grizzlies have on their schedule going forward as they are facing off against a team who is right in the mix of that back end of the playoffs, the play-in area of the playoffs right now when it comes to the standings. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you choose to listen, we will be there. And we ask that you listen, review, subscribe, let us know what you think. We always want to provide, you know, great content, you know, that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. So the thing about it is this, is that the Grizzlies could not have gotten off to a better start last night. They got out to, over the first 6 minutes of the game, a 20-2 lead. One of those moments where you kind of had to pinch yourself and you were like, is this truly reality? But it was. The Grizzlies got off to a 20-2 lead against the Lakers, and they continued to play well, you know, through the first quarter and into the second quarter as they took on a 59-46 lead after two quarters. The Grizzlies, you know, though the Lakers did start to come back a little bit in the second quarter, the Grizzlies really did a good job of any time the Lakers would get within 8 or 10 points, the Grizzlies would find success either shooting the three, getting turnovers, staying consistent on offense, another great half from Jonas Valanciunas contributed to their success. The Grizzlies got off to the great start. Well, unfortunately, in the second half, the Lakers just absolutely struggles from the Grizzlies, and the Lakers just remembering who they were, plus, to be honest, a little bit of help for the refs, all that contributed to the Lakers really getting off to a good start, you know, in the third quarter and just never looking back when it came to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies overall, but despite, you know, a significant advantage when it came to, you know, points off turnovers, when it came to rebounds, when it came to shooting the three, unfortunately, the Grizzlies lost all those advantages in the third quarter. They just could not take care of the basketball. They were not having good looks that were open. Unfortunately, they also just ran into foul trouble. And, you know, by the end of the third quarter, all of the advantages that the Grizzlies had gained by getting the 13-point lead in the first half, it dwindled because the Grizzlies only were now down by 5. They were outscored by the Lakers. They were outscored by 18 by Los Angeles in the third quarter. And that's the thing about this game overall, is that despite the hot start from the Grizzlies, and you know, setting aside, you know, I'm not going to lie, there clearly was, you know, I feel like there clearly was a discrepancy in how many foul calls the Lakers got, you know, when the game was actually still, you know, on the line, when it was still competitive and things like that. I think the Lakers certainly got a clear advantage there. The Grizzlies just certainly did not help themselves when it came to how many times they turned the ball over. You know, the fact that the Lakers were able to catch up in the rebounding side of things. The Lakers last night had 5 more possessions than the Grizzlies did. They had 85 shot attempts versus the 80 for the Grizzlies. And though Memphis made 6 more threes, the thing about it is that when Memphis is playing its best basketball, especially against more talented teams, it typically is getting 8 to 10 or more extra possessions each night. It's having 8 to 10 more shot attempts than its opponent each night, either being created through turnovers, through offensive rebounds, whatever it may be. But with this Grizzlies team, when they have 5 fewer shot attempts than a much more talented team right now than them in the Lakers, it just makes it very hard for the Grizzlies to find success. And that was a big reason why, despite the free throw attempts added in, the Lakers were able to come back, you know, basically over the final 42 minutes of the game. You know, the Grizzlies were outscored by 28. Over in the second half, they were outscored by 23 because they just stopped playing efficient basketball, made too many mistakes. And unfortunately, the Lakers' talent, plus other reasons obviously involved, the Lakers just had multiple avenues in which they were able to take advantage of it, and they were able to get the win. But despite the fact that, you know, the expected outcome occurred, there was a reason why the Lakers were favored by 8, 9, or 10 points wherever you looked. There were certainly some encouraging developments from this game for the Grizzlies, despite their struggles with turnovers and just, you know, overall, despite, you know, at times just the inability to get the stops they needed to really stay in the game. A few developments were obviously that, despite, you know, another big first half from Jonas Valanciunas. Unfortunately, he was kept quiet in the second half, but just a continued emphasis on his scoring. I believe now that this is the third game since he's come back from his COVID absence, the third game in which he has had 20 or more points, which obviously, you know, is a big, consistent, reliable source for this Grizzlies team that needs as many reliable sources as possible when it comes to scoring. His scoring ability certainly has returned. It seems like the Grizzlies are putting an emphasis on getting him 12 to 15 shot attempts a night, and it really is encouraging that he's been able to produce. Now, Ja Morant, once again, 7 of 18 from the court, so certainly has continued to struggle. Over his past 10 games since he returned from his injury, Ja Morant now is shooting 41.5% from the floor. But one of the things that is starting to be encouraging about his play is that it's understandable. His shot's not falling. Ja Morant will be the first to tell you that. His jump shot's not falling right now. His just overall effectiveness scoring is not there. And part of the reason why is certainly because of the fact that defenses are changing their approach to him, and Morant is doing his best to adjust. However, one encouraging thing is that he is starting to make adjustments, and while he has not gotten back to his scoring success that we're used to, that's a big part of his game when it comes to his impressive field goal percentage as a guard, he is establishing a floor that just makes you realize, man, if the numbers this guy is producing while he is struggling is this, there may not be a ceiling on his potential. What I'm referencing is that over the past 4 games, Ja Morant has scored 15 or more points while producing 9 or more assists each game and has a 4.3 turnover to assist ratio. While he is struggling himself shooting, you know, from 3 and from the field, he definitely is consistently getting good looks for his teammates when it comes to their shooting. And overall, obviously, that has helped out with how well the Grizzlies have been shooting the 3, you know, over their past few games, especially, you know, this past Wednesday night when they set a franchise record. So the key is that Ja Morant, despite him, you know, struggling himself when it comes to his scoring, there is obvious progression when it comes to his decision-making, when it comes to his ability to pass, and when it comes to his overall impact on the game. Even if he's struggling with his scoring, he still is finding ways to add significant value to this Grizzlies offense when it comes to their ability to produce. So the thing is that, you know, the Grizzlies certainly, you know, have struggled since, you know, they returned from the pause in the season. And we'll have a bit more on that in upcoming episodes. But there certainly are encouraging signs. Obviously, getting their, you know, two arguably best talents back right now in Ja and Jonas playing together again, that certainly is making a difference. Another key development from last night that really helped them out in the first half was that the Grizzlies held the Lakers to 2 for 13 from shooting from 3 in the first half, and then 6 from 30 overall. The reason why the Lakers, unlike previous games where the Grizzlies had struggled, the reason why the Lakers last night were able to come back so quickly was because of the fact that they got extra possessions through free throws and through the Grizzlies turning the ball over. Typically, the Grizzlies are finding success. They're right now 8th in the NBA in terms of limiting fouls per game, and they're overall, I believe, a 14th when it comes to limiting turnovers. It was an uncharacteristic night when it came to the Grizzlies and mistakes. If they are typically limiting mistakes like they usually do, the fact that they held the Lakers to 6 of 30 from shooting the 3 last night is certainly an encouraging sign. So while, yes, it is their fifth loss over the past 6 games, this is the 4th straight game where we're starting to see improvement from the offense and hopefully a reverse of fortunes when it comes to this defense. If they can find a way to get back going like they were when it comes to defending the 3, this offense for the Grizzlies certainly has some sustainable elements to it now. It really could be a good sign if they can continue to defend the 3 well like they did before the pause in the season. But the great thing about it is that, you know, we always want the Grizzlies to play a full 48 minutes when it comes to their production on the court. However, it becomes a lot easier to do that with successful starts. I'm going to look into that a little bit deeper, as one thing that has certainly emerged about this Grizzlies team, especially with John Morant and Jonas Valanciunas, is when they do have, you know, certain starting lineups in place, they have been able to find success starting games, which has certainly given them a boost in some big matchups so far this season. So the old saying when it comes to sports that it's not how you start, it's how you finish, is probably an important adage in many situations, and I certainly think it carries relevance regardless of the sport that you're playing. But I just can say this with confidence. Starting off, though it may be more important how you finish than how you start, it probably is going to increase your odds of having a good finish if you have a really good start. And when it comes to the Memphis Grizzlies this year, especially when they have had Jonas Valanciunas and Ja Morant available to play, this Grizzlies team has gotten off to a lot of good starts. If you remember the first 2 games of the season against San Antonio and Atlanta, we got off to really good starts in those games. It's just unfortunately, as the game went along and adjustments were made, we just were not able to end the game. You know, we were not able to see it through the full 48 minutes and get, you know, good results. But overall, this team, the Grizzlies, through 21 games this season, has had good success in the first quarter. It's just that it's come in various ways based off the available players that they've had to be able to utilize in these games. The overall results are pretty impressive. So far this year, through 21 games, the Grizzlies are 12th in the NBA when it comes to points per game in the first quarter. They're 10th in 3-point field goal percentage, and they're 4th when it comes to assists. So overall, they've been very above average when it comes to their play this season in the first quarter. But the thing is that the reason why I say it's come in different variations is because they only had Ja and Jonas playing together with each other through the first, basically, through the first 10 quarters of the season. And then over the next, basically, 3 weeks, they were without Jonas and Ja being able to play together on a consistent basis due to Ja's injury and Jonas's in and out availability due to COVID. But the thing about it is that when those two play together, yes, the Grizzlies overall this season have done quite well, but when those two play together especially, this Grizzlies team really, really performs well, like to the level of being one of the best fourth quarter teams or first quarter teams in the NBA. But it's not just because of the production of those two, it's because of the different variations that they surround them with really complement each other. Both Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson, along with either Grayson Allen or Desmond Bane, as I'll discuss in a minute, that trio really complements Ja and Jonas well, and vice versa. The skill sets of these players seem to really be gelling. As I had mentioned, so far this season during the first quarter, the Grizzlies are 12th in points, they are 10th in 3-point field goal percentage, and they are 4th and assists. Well, over the past 4 games, since Jonas Valanciunas has been back, over that stretch, the Grizzlies actually are now 6th in points. They're tied for 2nd in assists, and they lead the NBA in 3-point field goal percentage. Now, as I had mentioned, with Jonas and Ja back, obviously the starting lineup is what is having the success. You saw that at the first of the season when they were both available together, and you're now seeing it that they're both finally back and healthy. But the Grizzlies did still maintain solid production in the first quarter, even when they didn't have Ja and Jonas available during, you know, the stretch of the season, you know, basically between the 1st of January through the end of January. During that time, the formula for success for the Grizzlies is while their starters struggled, their bench, you know, when the bench really, you know, established itself as arguably the best bench unit in the NBA, it was finding success by getting started. As soon as the bench entered the game for the first time in a lot of these Grizzlies games, they immediately started contributing from threes. You saw it over several first quarters where the Grizzlies either were, you know, down probably 5 to 8 points, they were struggling a bit, well, all of a sudden, they would come in and over the last 4 or 5 minutes, they would outscore their opponents by 10 or more points because the Grizzlies bench came in and started raining threes. So you went from the success of John Jonas in the starting lineup being able to dominate these games to the bench without John and Jonas playing together. It was the bench that played so well together, and their three-point shooting ability allowed for the Grizzlies to stay afloat in terms of not getting behind too much when it came to their first quarter production. But the biggest key for the Grizzlies so far this season is, in addition to how well their bench has played, is having the availability of Ja, Jonas, Dylan, and Kyle, and to add to them either Grayson Allen or Desmond Bane. Just some startling numbers and some really encouraging numbers when it comes to the Grizzlies having those six guys available and either Bane or Grayson starting with the other four. So far this year, when Ja, Grayson, Dylan, Kyle, and JV are playing together, they have a 25.8 net rating. They have 121.8 offensive rating and a 96 defensive rating, and they are holding their opponents to a 47.4 effective field goal percentage from the field. So both offensively and defensively, that unit is really adding value. And you see it from Grayson's improved defense with his obvious shooting complementing the other four. So when that lineup plays together, they actually ranked very highly among the five-man lineups that have seen more than 50 or more minutes in the NBA this season. There have been 83 total five-man lineups that have played more than 50 minutes in the NBA this season. Though of those units, that lineup of Ja, Grayson, Dylan, Kyle, and Jonas, that lineup ranked sixth in net rating. They rank first in pace and third in assist-to-turnover ratio. So the starting lineup that we've seen, the starting lineup that Coach Taylor Jenkins preferred over any other lineup to start the season, the reason why he preferred that is because how productive they've been. They've been so efficient on both ends of the court. But even when Grayson was available, Coach Jenkins decided to start Desmond Bane over the last two games before he was unavailable during the Lakers game. Compared to the lineup that started Grayson, when you insert Bane into the lineup, the difference is this. The overall net rating between when Grayson is in the lineup and when Bane is in the lineup, it goes from a 25.8 net rating with Grayson to a 22.8 net rating when it comes to Bane. The offensive rating improves from 121.8 with Grayson to 136.2 with Bane. The issue, though, comes to defense, because with Grayson, you have a 96.0 defensive rating. With Bane, you have 113.4 defensive rating. So the thing is that, you know, you've got your four starters with Ja, Jonas, Dylan, and Kyle. You know those four together make a big difference. They're showing success. But the difference between starting Grayson and Bane is that with Bane, you have a very, very elite offense, like one of the best offensive lineups in the league so far this season when they play together because of Bane's added ability to shoot from three. But you do lack a little bit on defense that you gain from starting Grayson. But overall, the whole point is this, is that no matter how the Grizzlies decide to start their games, they have a clear blueprint. They know how productive their bench is, and now if they can get health on their side, they have a starting lineup that makes sense. Starting Ja, either Bane and Grayson based off matchup, and then Dylan at the 3, Kyle at the 4, and Jonas at the 5. But the other big development is this that I think that, you know, we need to really show appreciation towards, or at least I feel that I will. And that's the fact that, you know, starting off the season, there was a bit of discussion as to whether or not it made sense. You know, what starting lineup would Taylor Jenkins go with? What did he feel made sense for this Grizzlies team? Well, now, 6 weeks later, He certainly chose one of, if not the best lineups, one of, if not the most productive lineups we've seen in terms of the Grizzlies lineups that they had, in terms of the different lineups they could put together based off the players that we had available. So that's one thing to remember about Taylor Jenkins. At the time when he does his different things when it comes to lineups, he certainly can be criticized, especially when it has come to the lineups that he's put out there to end the third or start the fourth that I think has cost the Grizzlies a few wins this season. At the beginning of the year, through the different, you know, all the preparation and everything that he put together, the lineup that he chose to start the first game of the season for the Grizzlies, 6 weeks later, has been validated to be one of the best five-man lineups so far this season in the NBA and the most advantageous lineup for the Grizzlies when it comes to their ability to succeed. So really, really encouraging signs from this Grizzlies roster, and especially the starting lineup, though it has struggled at times this year, really, really encouraging signs of how they're starting the game when they have Ja and Jonas at their disposal, and hopefully that will continue. If that continues and the Grizzlies' ability to defend the three and their ability to play all 48 minutes comes back, you've got a very good remedy for success that can easily be sustainable because these players are simply playing to their abilities and they're playing well with each other, and the results certainly are encouraging going forward. Hopefully, we'll get the next sign of that coming up tomorrow night when the Grizzlies head to Sacramento to face off against the Sacramento Kings. Entering last night, before the Grizzlies game against the Lakers, the Kings were in ninth place and the Grizzlies were in 10th place when it comes to the play-in game. Two clear teams that have playoff aspirations facing off against each other for the first time this season. We'll discuss how the Grizzlies can find success on the road in Sacramento. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So yeah, we've discussed, you know, how, you know, the game against the Lakers. The Grizzlies are now 0-3 against the Lakers this season, but have shown really well against them. However, you know, when you lose to a team three times, though it's understandable because they significantly are a more talented team with the roster that you have at your disposal right now, it gets frustrating when you know that the Grizzlies had a chance to win all three games, and it would have been a big start to a stretch of games in which the Grizzlies play six times in 8 days. Just a very hard stretch of play that is going to be tiring. You know, to start that off with an upset victory would have been great. However, though the expected loss were to occur, it does put added pressure now, in my opinion, on the Grizzlies as they head to Sacramento to face off against the Kings on Sunday night. Now, as we all know, the Grizzlies in recent memory just have not had a lot of success when it comes to traveling to Sacramento. Several games in recent memory where the Grizzlies have, you know, just inexplicably for some reason, they play well enough to win for basically 30 to 36 minutes, but then somehow find a way to lose in the last quarter. And also, the Kings have been successful. In terms of De'Aaron Fox with the Kings over the past few years, the Kings have been very successful against the Grizzlies. Well, the biggest development for tomorrow night actually focuses on Fox for a few reasons. Obviously, as many know, as much has been alluded to, the overall improvement on from Fox this season has been absolutely incredible for the impact that it's had on the Kings, really improving their ability to go from being a clear lottery lock 3 weeks ago to now being a true playoff contender due to the overall play of De'Aaron Fox. So far this season, Fox is averaging 23.4 points per game, 6.7 assists, 3.4 rebounds. He's shooting 37% from, or excuse me, 36% from three on 2 3-pointers made per game, and overall 48% from the field. So just an incredible overall productive season for Fox as he continues to take the next step as a young player and potential star in this league. Also, you certainly have seen a lot of news about the infusion of energy, effectiveness, and talent that has been Tyrese Haliburton for the Kings. Much like Desmond Bane has been an answer to needed prayers when it comes to the Grizzlies' shooting needs, Haliburton, in terms of being an instant offensive source on the bench, has certainly been there for the Kings as well. But other names such as Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, and others have certainly added to their recent success. But getting back to Fox, the big reason why he is the key thing to focus on last night is not only his production, but it's also going to be his availability. Last night it was reported that both he and Marvin Bagley were out in the game where the Magic played the Sacramento Kings. And the Magic, who right now are one of the worst teams in the NBA, wound up beating the Kings 123-112 due to the fact that the Kings were without two of their more talented players. And the thing about it is this, is that, you know, as good as De'Aaron Fox has been, and as good as Heald and Barnes and Halliburton have been on offense, this Kings team cannot afford to lose any significant part of its offense because it has been so bad on defense this year. It has improved slightly, but still, this Kings team, at one point, it was historically bad. Like, the defensive ratings that were measured, the advanced defensive ratings, just proved that this team was historically bad when it came to defense. Though it slightly has improved, the thing about it is that if they were to lose Fox and Bagley in tomorrow night's game, which we hopefully will see developments of, you know, today once injury reports are released, it's going to be something to certainly watch, because that'll be a big development for the Grizzlies. Because not only is this Grizzlies offense playing better now with Jonas back to complement Ja, without Fox and without Heald being available, that makes it to where the Grizzlies hopefully will be the favorite in a big, big game for them to win. But overall, the reason why the Kings are so successful is because, just like the Grizzlies, they are very effective passing the ball. They average 26 assists per game, which is good for ninth in the NBA. They also are making 42 field goals a game, which is good for 10th in the NBA, as well as the fact that they are very good when it comes to shooting. They overall are ranked 12th in terms of three-point field goal percentage per game, and 12th when it comes to shooting twos. So when it comes to this Kings team, they're above average shooting both twos and threes, and that really helps their consistency when it comes to their offense. They've been able to score 113.6 points per game, which puts them at 11th on the season. So average to a slightly above average offense that really has produced well as of late, with the emergence of De'Aaron Fox, as well as the shown consistency of Barnes and Heald, as well as Halliburton off the bench. But where the Grizzlies really can find success is that they're going to be able to find multiple ways in which they can score tonight. And the big reason why is because the Kings just do not have defensive answers usually on any given night, because they just don't have a lot of disciplined defenders. On the season so far this year, the Kings are last in the league in terms of field goals given up per game. They're 26th in opponent's field goal percentage allowed, 27th in opponent's three-point field goal percentage allowed, and 19th in two-point field goal percentage allowed. While they do a decent job at limiting their opponents to be able to shoot the three, a lot of times the Kings' opponents are able to find success getting into the lane and getting into the foul line. So with how this Grizzlies offense is set up versus the weaknesses of this Kings defense, the Grizzlies should have a lot of success being able to use Ja, being able to use Tyus and others to get into the lane and then pop out the pass for a three-point opportunity. Though we're likely going to be without Desmond Bane in this game tomorrow night, one encouraging thing is that with how well this Grizzlies team has been shooting the three, this is a very good matchup for them to continue to feature that specific part of their offense and allow for them to find success consistently. And especially if Fox and Bagley do not play, it's going to be hard to see where the Kings may be able to find an answer to that potential area of success for the Grizzlies, unless two of Heald, Halliburton, and Barnes are able to have a really good shooting night. But the thing about it is this, is that though the Grizzlies might be able to find a bit of success on offense, they're also going to have to be wary of the Kings front court, which includes Rekaun Holmes and which includes Hassan Whiteside, because those two players, though they do have their weaknesses, Holmes being an across-the-board contributor and Whiteside himself being a big and really being productive at the rim, if the Grizzlies allow either one of them to unexpectedly have a big night, whether it comes to rebounding, offensive rebounds, contributing to points, that's the type of development that the Grizzlies really need to avoid, especially if Fox and Bagley are out, because if the Kings get that type of contribution, that potentially frees up their shooters, and if the Kings do have the better overall shooting talent in this game tomorrow night, especially when it comes to creating their own shots. If they were to combine that with production from one or two of their bigs in the post, that does give the Kings a good solid floor to really match any successes that the Grizzlies may have when it comes to shooting. So on defense, it's certainly going to be a focus on boxing out when it comes to Holmes and Whiteside, and it's also going to be a big focus on defending the three, really getting out to contest shots. Again, a hopeful sign. You really have to be hopeful that the Grizzlies' ability to defend the Lakers' three-point attempts, and also the fact that the Grizzlies have only given up 59 combined three-point attempts over the past two games. They gave up 29 to the Hornets, and they gave up only 30 to the Lakers. That hopefully is an encouraging sign that this Grizzlies team is finding better ways to limit looks and contest looks when it comes to their opponent shooting the three. If the Grizzlies can stay doing that, once again, if they could find a way through offensive rebounds and turnovers to get a significant advantage when it comes to them having more shot attempts than the Kings, and the Grizzlies can just simply stay disciplined on letting their strengths, the overall scheme and flows of their offense of getting into the lane, finding success on floaters, getting to the line, whatever it may be, but making the defense collapse and then letting Ja, Tyus, and others get the ball out to Grayson and Kyle and Dylan and others shooting the three. If the Grizzlies can simply play to their strengths doing that, I think they'll have a very good chance to win this game, and that's especially true if Fox and Hill are out. But even if they're not, the Grizzlies just need to stay consistent with what has shown some success over the past few days, and if they can do that on offense, and ride the wave from the improved effectiveness and energy that they showed Friday night in LA on defense, I think the Grizzlies would be in a good position to get a needed win, a win that's going to have a two-game swing in the standings in the Western Conference in terms of the play-in game right now, and could be really looked back as being a big win for either the Kings or the Grizzlies. Hopefully for the Grizzlies, it'll be in their case to be able to escape Sacramento with a much-needed win. Obviously, you can find the show at Locked On Grizzlies on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts. Follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. It's always a pleasure joining you with these shows, especially getting to break down the successes and, though there are struggles, just the encouraging signs that are there from the Grizzlies. Again, finding their way. 10-11 so far this season in many different, ways, formulas, or ways to look at how their season has gone. That's about their expected record with the numbers they have produced. And though it's been inconsistent at times, there's been a lot of encouraging signs for this team. Hopefully, they'll get a needed victory in Sacramento tomorrow and maybe get started on a good winning streak as the schedule becomes a bit more manageable through the middle of February. Hope that you have a great start to your weekend, what may be a long weekend for many of us. Stay warm, stay safe, stay comfortable in what's going to probably be one of the more significant stretches of winter weather that we've had in quite a while, at least here in Memphis. But hope wherever you are having a great start to your weekend and that continues. Until next time, have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.